Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 52 of Letters from a Lonely Flyboy. We are your hosts. I'm Kelly Dennis.
And I'm Clinton Cathcart.
Thank you for joining us as we continue on this journey described by our father through his letters home. The letters in this episode begin on March 23rd, 1962, and Clint is going to read that first letter.
The letter's dated 23 March. Hi, honey. This will be just a note. Writing from Itazuki tonight. Got the briefing over this morning for General Smart and did get off. Had a fitting for my suit. Looks like it's going to be real fine. And ordered another. So did GB. This one is a light gabardine, dark brown, $36. We got in here real late, had airplane trouble, and had to land up at Nagoya at a Japanese base. We still plan to get out in the morning early, but this will depend on the airplane status. We can't really afford to fly over a heck of a lot of water with it the way it is. Besides, the weather isn't really good anywhere. Wouldn't you know that would be our luck? Didn't get any mail, or at least not before we left. We'll be looking forward to hearing from you when we get back. If they can't fix this bird properly, we'll probably end up back at Osan tomorrow night unless we can get squared away for some golf here. No courses on base or even real close, as I had been led to believe, and naturally both of us are eager to have at it. At least I'm living high on the hog again in the colonel's quarters with GB. This is worth considerable effort. GB keeps talking about the clean water. Miss you, all of you. I love you. See.
Okay, so he finally got his fitting for his suit. I know he's been looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, they have an airplane trouble. We're going to hear more about that in future episodes or future letters, too.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Okay. And he's hoping for some golf and living in the good quarters.
Yes. Although the weather doesn't seem that like it's promising for golf.
No, it doesn't. But maybe the quarters, you never know.
Oh, yeah. No, he's happy to be living in someplace that's reasonable.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we've got a couple of pretty short letters this episode. Are you good for me to go on and read the next one?
Yes.
Okay. This one is dated Sunday, 25 March. Hi, honey. You'll have to excuse the pencil tonight. We're back at Itazuki. Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Okay. And stuck with a broken bird. One of the damnedest T-birds I've ever had. More crazy things have happened and go on with this one than any I've run across. We did get to play golf yesterday and again this morning. I didn't play very well, but managed to hold GB even. Yesterday was pretty cool for Oki and very windy, but this morning was more like it, warm and only a small breeze. It's snowing at Osan tonight, one of the reasons we didn't go. I don't think anything will fix this bird except an awful lot of troubleshooting. With good weather, we can give it a try, but no 500 feet stuff with this one. The BOQs are crowded here tonight, one reason for the pencil. They had room for GB in the VIP quarters, but I'm in the regular type. Saw Grady, and he is recovering rapidly. They are going to let him go back to the 105 school. In fact, he's leaving about the 4th of April and won't be back till the end of June. Then June should drive north with the kids about 4th of July. He's still taking it pretty easy, though, but things look considerably brighter for him. Saw Roscoe and Dottie Barber. Used his clubs, in fact, but he was so hammered I didn't talk to him. Also saw Bolts, Buckshot, White, and a number of others. Didn't see Simler this trip. They had quite a communist demonstration around the base here today. Must have been more than 10,000 people, probably twice that. No trouble, but touchy. Don't look forward to heading back tomorrow except to get my mail. Sure do miss it, as I do you, though it isn't the very best. I love you. C. Stuck in Itazuki. Okay. And did get to play golf.
Right.
So it's a good, pretty good weather, it sounds like. But then he didn't get the VIP quarters.
No.
And really good news about Grady.
Yep. Yep.
He's doing really, really well. He saw some old friends, but didn't talk to one of them because he was so hammered.
Yep.
That's funny. And So he witnessed a huge communist demonstration. What would that have been like?
I don't know. I mean, apparently just people, you know, demonstrating, just signs and
parade, and that kind of
just like we do here in this country.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. My history for with Japan in mind is not all that good. But obviously they had some, you know, they had a faction there. We did have a communist party in this country for a while that was trying to be active. So, and it was probably back around that time. So,
okay,
you know, just a demonstration, but it just, you know, it kind of, for some people, you know, those things get in the way because they're in the wrong spot at the wrong time. But
I'm sure they took up with 10 to 20,000 people took up quite a bit of space there.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know how big Itazuki is, but I don't think it's, you know, huge.
No, okay. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people in Japan, so
yeah, okay.
That wouldn't have been a real, it wouldn't have been a, you know, a majority of the people by any means. So.
Okay, so not really an outrageous number then?
No, probably not, no.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. Just curious to get your thoughts on that one.
Okay, yeah, and he mentions that it was snowing in Osan, so yeah. I guess at least he got to avoid that.
Yeah, but it sounds like they're going to fly back anyway on a broken bird, which is scary.
Yeah, it just sounds like he's going to have to baby it, you know, to get home so that somebody can troubleshoot it and fix it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Are you ready to go on and read the next letter?
I think I am, yes.
Okay.
And this letter is dated 26 March, Monday. Hi, honey. We finally got back. Actually, we were hardly even late for work. Landed here about 08:05, and we're both in the office by 8:30. Really shouldn't have brought this bird back at all, but we made it, so that's the important thing. GB is now convinced that I know what I'm talking about, though, and will think the thing over several times before he'll do that again. Really isn't as bad as I make it sound because there are so many places to go into if things really get serious. Just not a good practice. Had three letters from you waiting plus one from Dad, and then got another from you this afternoon. Don't understand how the one got in the afternoon mail, which is almost always entirely boat mail, but won't argue about it. Dad says the whole house is torn up. Seems they decided to do some repapering, wallpaper, and ended up doing a considerable amount of plaster work, too. Your mail will probably be loused up for a few days. You'll probably get the letters mailed from Itazuki before some I wrote prior to the time we left. This reminds me. I think I said that the brown suit I ordered was a gabardine. Really, it's much like the blue one I have with me, just a slightly heavier material. The fact that I ordered another means no more taping this month, but payday is Saturday, so I'll get back to it then. Got the pictures that Carl sent. They are cute, both of them. They really accentuate the change, though, looking at these and then some of the later ones you've sent. You mentioned storms there. Well, it snowed here again and is now very cold, windy, and sort of a mixed sleety snow is really coming down. Happy spring. I am not surprised that Dink thinks he has developed his own taste in clothes. It's about that time. It's really only another phase, though. I guess this is the first time I've picked out any of my own in years. You have really either bought or helped me buy everything I have. Would have liked your judgment on these, really. I'm very tired tonight. It's not even 2100, but didn't sleep worth a damn last night. Sort of a cat napped all night long. And then up at 0500 to herd that sick bird back here. Saw GB this afternoon, and he said he wished he'd listened to me and not taken it out of Oki. We'd probably have played 36 holes today. I'm looking forward to seeing Dink's high school schedule. I'm sure he can handle a heavy load, but he must understand that there will be and should be some outside activities he will become interested in, sports, girls, etc., that will also require time, and so, consequently, he shouldn't overload. It's always easier to increase a load than drop part of it. I do think he is perfectly capable of a heavier load than the normal student, though. I'm off to get friendly with the electric blanket. Miss you badly, and I love you. See.
Okay. So somehow they made it back, even with the airplane trouble. And it sounds like GB wasn't all that wild about the experience.
No, apparently, it's from the way the letter reads, Dad was thinking, well, probably shouldn't go. And
yeah,
he was thinking, well, we got to get back. Let's just go ahead and try. And then with the troubles they had getting back, why GB apparently changed his mind and thought, well, he should have listened to Dad and just, and they should have stayed there and then they could have played golf. But, you know, I mean, work schedules, I'm sure he was worried about what they needed to do.
Oh, absolutely. But, and then again, Dad makes it sound like, oh, you know, no big deal. There were plenty of places we could have touched down if we had to. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, maybe there are, I don't know.
I'm sure he found a way to get there that they would have plenty of options if he got into trouble, but
well, as many as you can get. Remember, Japan's not that far from Korea, but there's water in between them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Lordy.
I doubt that the Air Force really wants to try to go fish that thing out of the water.
I would not think so. No. He got some mail finally, and the grandparents are remodeling.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So that, I'm trying to remember when they moved. They lived on Detroit Street there in Hammond for years and years. And then as grandma started having, you know, the walker thing and everything, because she did have, you know, she had diabetes and Dad's mom and she had her left leg amputated.
I remember
above the knee, probably around 64. So they might have been fixing up that place, the old place, because they're going to move into another place in Hammond, but right on Holman Avenue. But it's one floor.
Right.
So then would have no trouble getting around the house.
That makes sense. Yeah. They're having a lovely spring, it sounds like.
Yes. Complete with snow.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're talking about your taste in clothes and your high school schedule.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember, going with mom and I going to get clothes for me before the school year started. So apparently I tried to have some influence on, whatever it was that we were picking out. I don't know. I kind of remember that I liked I thought they were really neat. Some of the clothes, you know, the slacks and the shirts and stuff I got. So.
So did mom take you shopping with her, or did she just went shopping for you?
Okay. I'd have to try the stuff off and everything. She just lent her expertise.
Well, she had pretty good taste in clothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Dad admits that, too, because he said he didn't think he'd ever really picked out any of his clothes. but, yeah, and then school, I don't know, that was we're in March now, see, so mm-hmm. we're not picking out clothes to go to start the school year. So I don't know. I don't know if she's hearkening back to the beginning of the year, or just maybe having to get to replace some of the stuff.
Probably so, because you're growing so fast.
Yeah. But and then the high school schedule, of course, I think we mentioned this, but when we were going down there, mom and dad went down early into Phoenix. And we had lots of relatives down there, distant, you know, cousins removed and what have you, but lots and lots of them. And mom got with all the, you know, the home boys. She went and enrolled me in high school, you know, got me situated for the ninth grade. I was all ready to go. And I was going to, some of the cousins I would even, you know, be going to school with. And when I got down there, of course, this is a few months back, you know, when we started this reading these letters back in August of 61. We're now in March of 62. But I had to explain to her that, yeah, it was great. And yes, I would definitely be going to the ninth grade, but not until the following year. That year I was expected to go through the eighth grade.
Just not this year. Right. Okay.
Right. Right. So anyway, and it's interesting. I read this. Because he talks about, well, you know, he wants to see the high school schedule and he doesn't want me to get overloaded, mm-hmm. you know, and all this stuff. And yet he changed his tune a couple years later or so when it was apparent that high school was not all that challenging.
Okay. And I
didn't have to bring home homework because while all the other knuckleheads were throwing notes and shoes and everything around in study hall, I was trying to get all my work done so I didn't have to take the damn books home.
Yeah.
So I come home and I have no homework, and that wasn't his favorite part. So he lost his interest in worrying about an overload.
I can see how that might happen.
Yeah. Actually, at one point, he was thinking about sending me to a parochial school so that he figured they might work me harder than a public school would.
He wanted you to have a little bit more of a challenge then.
Apparently, yes.
Oh, well, I think you came out okay, though.
I did take some extra courses here and there, but they weren't overly challenging. I mean, they gave you that study hall, and if you really used it, you could pretty well get the stuff done.
Yeah,
if you listened in class, you knew what it was that you were supposed to do.
Right, right. Which, those are big ifs there.
True.
Are you ready for me to read the last letter of the episode, Zen?
Yeah.
Okay, and this one is dated Tuesday, 27 March. Hi, honey. Today wasn't quite so bad, or so long, I should say. Did manage to get out of the office just before 1900. Didn't finish, just quit. No mail today, though I certainly can't complain. There isn't supposed to be any tomorrow, but it seems as though either the schedule is changing or the delays are causing a change. The new boss is going over great, even after the weekend cross country during which he knows I got to play golf. He asked me tonight if there wasn't some reason for me to go to Seoul Saturday morning and then stay to play golf. I offered to watch the store and suggested he go, but he seems to insist. Also, he seems very disturbed that I haven't taken a week's leave since I've been here. Told him I'd hope for a leave to go home, and he agrees that this is the answer, but as far as I can see, the possibilities get more remote daily. It was a pleasant thought, or dream, though, and I really did enjoy a few hours of planning and thinking about it. I guess dreaming about it would be a better description. Remember Tom Carter, the general's son, who was in the 525th and so unhappy he got himself transferred to the 36th group? Anyway, he's now working for me again. The advisory group released him to go home 2 or almost 3 months early, but since they work for us, Carter was pulled into the shop for the remainder of his full tour, and as we have ended up so shorthanded due to casualties and emergency leaves. Needless to say, he isn't very happy. He has to finish the full tour and end up working for me along with it. Can't really blame him, but that's the breaks. And now he fully understands that he's going to be productive or else. A little unpleasant, but we understand things. I really need help and can't put up with anyone who isn't going to produce regardless of personal likes, dislikes, or how long the body will be available. I've certainly had to learn that you don't have to like the job to do it. And so will Carter. Even with Carter here, I doubt there'll be any free time, other than an extra hour's sleep on Sunday morning this weekend. Things are picking up and everything has a short suspense date. Heard that the general took home some memos I wrote today that require some guidance from him. One, I'm afraid, will end up as a requirement for another lengthy study. And if so, there'll be lots of other staff sections working on it this weekend, too. You can't tell these guys. The old boy seems to be mellowing somewhat. I guess he's leaving or didn't make, or maybe did make, permanent brigadier general. Have drafted a letter to Stevens and will put it in the typewriter during lunch tomorrow. Miss you badly, honey. I love you. C. So, long hours and no more mail, but he's not surprised about the mail somehow.
Right.
And it sounds like the new boss is really, great to work for and hoping he'll take some time off, although it doesn't sound like, you know, he knows when in the world that would happen.
Yeah, but at least he's kind of encouraging him to think in that direction and to try to do it rather than, you know, tell him, oh, we got to do the work. Don't worry about time off. So,
right. I mean,
it's a better leadership principle.
Yeah, well, my dad certainly likes it a lot better.
Yeah.
He's even encouraging him just to go overnight to Seoul.
Yeah.
And stay to play golf.
And play golf, yeah.
And he doesn't seem too impressed with Tom Carter.
No.
And he's got a lot of long hours over the weekend, it sounds like.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he's been putting up with that all along. So
yeah, yeah, he has.
That hasn't changed. Yeah.
Yeah. He's always, there's always hope, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything to add for the good of this episode?
I don't.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening today. And please join us next time when Chuck responds to some news at home and he really lets loose about his feelings about the goings on at work. If you have any comments or feedback you'd like to share, you can reach us on Instagram at LonelyFlyboy or email us at lettersfromalonelyflyboy@gmail.com. We would sure love to hear from you. And that's going to do it for this episode. I'm Kelly Dennis.
And I'm Clinton Cathcart.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.